This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it. We just celebrated our 182,000 subscriber mark on YouTube. Very exciting things. We just celebrated that yesterday. Wow. Very, very exciting, Larson. 182,000 so subs. We have the trophy. Are you upset with me right now? Because I just revealed to you that I threw the tournament yesterday.
You didn't throw anything. That's
on the sub party thing.
That's absolutely not true. You didn't throw anything.
Okay, I'm sorry. I said what I said. Congratulations.
You said what you said because you don't want to admit that you lost.
No, man. Look, I won the first three matches. At a certain point, there needs to be some appearance of competition. And so
here's the thing.
And I thought similar to the one we got at the end of Interdimension Tension when I powerbombed your head on the monitor and then made you tap out. Similar to that, I thought, oh, what a great way to wrap up that by rage quitting. It's all an elaborate work. Pro wrestling is a work, Larson.
Yeah. Just like there's zero shoot about everything you just said. It's all a work. Everything you just said. At the time, you were trying to win. Now you're retconning your motivation for all of it. It's not true. It's simply not believable.
All right, here, tell you what.
We have wrestling to talk about. People don't want to hear us bickering about some video game stuff we did. They're here to hear us bicker about actual wrestling.
Before we start, can I just say one thing? I love you.
Thank you.
You're not going to say it back?
Sorry, I was swallowing.
What? No! Oh, no! All right, yeah. So anyways, we're available right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. On the iOS podcast app, if you have a moment, if you want to contribute to the show in a very, very easy way, just sit there and write a review, or leave us a rating on that podcast app. It really helps the show. We're also available on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 44 amazing friendos watching right now, putting up with our BS during the pre-show and again during the post-show. Every Tuesday, we've got our chat trivia challenge for our patrons. And we're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw, where you can get this shirt right here, this fun wrestling shirt that my good friendo here designed. So,
yeah, we got to talk about 205 Live in NXT today. Are you excited?
I'm excited about talking about NXT, but I don't really want it to. Oh, programming note at 3 o'clock in about 2 hours. Well, not two hours from like the point we're filming this.
3 o'clock Pacific time.
3 p.m. Pacific time. We're going live at twitch.tv/Steven Larson for our the very first episode of... Should we announce the name here?
Sure, let's do it.
Yeah, okay. What is it called? Best Action Dojo Wrestling.
Yeah.
That's right. It's the next iteration under the Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling banner. Bad Wrestling is here in 2K18, ladies and gentlemen. And then we're going to come up with a logo for it. But today we're going to test out some of the submissions that we've already received.
We're also going to have a match to determine who gets the first pick in the Bad Wrestling draft.
That's right. Will I throw that one? Maybe.
Oh,
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what's best for business, Larson. That's what it's all about. Anyway, yeah, let's briefly talk about this is going to be a quick episode if all we had to talk about was 205 Live. Because, man, it is missing Neville. Let me tell you what.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
It's not good.
Huge hole with Neville apparently leaving the company. The first about 14 minutes of the show was a recap package of everything that happened in the last few weeks. And then just Enzo talking. And talking.
Dude,
And making a bunch of really dated references to Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was terrible. I looked up at the clock or whatever. Midway through... Wait, was it him and, Kalisto?
Kalisto didn't say anything. He just came out and attacked
him. He just came out. He came out like wearing, like, it looked like underwear. It's funny, when I paused it and I was like, what the hell is that guy wearing? And then I just sort of put my thumb right here and I was like, it looks like he's naked if I do this. Because he doesn't really come out like in nothing usually.
Well, usually he has that armor.
He's got
type
the armor
stuff,
on, yeah.
But he's in the world at the fight.
Yeah.
That's just when he walks out to the ring.
The last time they actually fought, wasn't he wearing like a top?
No.
Really?
No.
He looked naked too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, goes to show how much I pay attention. Dude, Enzo's promo, that entire segment, all that, I'll put it this way. The first match didn't start until literally the 15-minute mark.
Yeah.
The 15-minute mark.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
For a show, and we sort of heard rumblings that with the ratings the way they were, they were going to switch things up to make them a bit more story character-based as opposed to wrestling-based.
Bad idea.
Bad idea. Terrible idea. That means we're going to get our first wrestling match at 15 minutes.
This whole hour had two matches.
Yeah, I know.
Two.
I know.
Because not only do we have the recap of the whole Enzo storyline preceding his promo, he had his extended promo. You had that brief brawl between Kalisto and Enzo.
Yeah.
And Kalisto got the upper hand. Then we had another recap package of the Cedric Alexander, Brian Kendrick, Jack Gallagher saga.
They're really long.
I think it's the same one they showed on Raw, too.
Yeah.
It just seemed like there was a lot of filler to start the show.
And, okay, here's the thing. I'll play devil's advocate for just a moment here. They do have two matches.
Yeah.
Coming up at TLC, both on the main show.
Yeah.
So maybe...
Plus Drew Gulak has a segment during the kickoff.
The kickoff show, he's got a PowerPoint presentation. So maybe they just wanted to save the juice for the actual show, and this was sort of just... because Raw felt like a pretty decent go-home.
Mm-hmm.
What happened on 205 Live really wasn't necessary. And usually that's where they build, that's where things usually aren't necessary on the actual 205 Live show for those storylines. So in a sense, okay, I kind of understand WWE, their go-homes lately haven't been all that great anyways. There's a couple of notable exceptions, but generally they haven't been that great. And so maybe this is just sort of falling in line because they've got some high-profile matches at TLC. Maybe they just felt, okay, we just need to hammer home TLC.
Yeah.
As opposed to make another compelling episode of 205 Live.
I know, but this makes for a pretty boring episode of 205 Live. There was one pretty good match. Rich Swann and Jack Gallagher was...
Yeah, it was a good match.
It was relatively hard-hitting.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Because Rich Swann had to... Rich Swann in this match, he had to adapt his style to Jack Gallagher's style.
Yep.
And so you see Rich Swann, instead of doing the more athletic, you know, high-flying moves...
Striking,
doing ground and pound, doing stuff like that, more in line with what Jack Gallagher's heel persona is doing these days. So that was cool. I mean, they told a decent story there.
Yeah.
Swann and Cedric Alexander, I think, make a great team.
Oh, yeah.
If they ever did decide to sort of dismantle the Cruiserweight division, I think putting a lot of these guys in tag teams would be smart. And those two guys... They did like a little inset promo thing, mm-hmm. which was like completely scripted, and those guys don't do great when they're scripted. But you could just tell that they like each other,
yeah.
and they've got good chemistry together, even if they're reading dialogue that is not suited for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, they look cool. They look cool together. They're a good team. Do. Yeah.
Finish this match. Rich Swann come to the outside. Brian Kendrick attacks him. So Rich wins by DQ.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kendrick and Gallagher start attacking Swann and Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, Swann and Alexander get the upper hand.
Yeah.
And then Gallagher and Kendrick flee.
So faces stand tall. What does that mean for the match? Who predicted the heels are standing tall at TLC?
No, yeah, I said the heels were going to win at TLC.
Ooh.
You said faces.
I said the faces?
Yep.
Uh-oh. Bad
See
move,
if the
Steve.
Map holds up.
Oh man, bad move, me. Anyways,
after that we had Drew Gulak with an extended promo.
Yeah, I see. I'm always okay with that.
Oh, I am too.
I'll watch an hour of Drew Gulak talk. He's hilarious. He makes me laugh. That dude is so funny.
And he continued with one more slide of his PowerPoint presentation. Mm-hmm. Slide number 9, rule number 9, as he put it.
Yeah.
No defying authority.
Yeah.
Follow the rules.
Follow the rules. I mean, that's actually a really good point, though. You don't really want to defy authority too much, do you? I mean, you know, you don't go out and about and spitting at authority figures.
Well, I mean...
When we had jobs at Machinima, like, I would talk crap to you because you were technically my boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I defied authority a little bit. You would just say, hey, can you make an edit? Like, you'd very diplomatically say, hey, can you make an edit right here? And
nice
I'd say, whatever!
I was always very nice about things.
I would say, you're annoying.
Yeah, you would.
I never typed that to you, but you knew that I thought it.
Oh, God, yes. Body language speaks volumes.
Oh, you're so annoying sometimes.
Ugh!
Ugh. Irritating. Anyways, what now? What's happening?
It's like there's literally 5 items on the 205 Live breakdown. You'd think with 5
things... We've been
talking
for 5 minutes and we're done.
...that it was a half-hour show. This took the entire hour.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Main event was Kalisto, Mustafa Ali versus Enzo and Arya Daivari. It was okay. There was this great spot or sequence where Mustafa got the hot tag in clean house. Why is it Mustafa Ali in Kalisto's spot?
I know.
Mustafa Ali's great.
I know. Could you imagine if they let him do some like sort of shoot style promos, drop that on Enzo? That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Kalisto can't. He can't. I'm so infuriated. I hate everything about Kalisto, man.
He's good in the ring.
He's decent in the ring. I think he, I'll put it this way. He's decent in what they let him do in the ring, but I think he can do a lot more. That's not his fault, I know. But like, he can't talk. He cannot talk. He can't talk at all. I don't care about one lick of what comes out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me ask you this, though. I did notice this a little bit. Maybe I was just searching. Maybe I was just grasping for straws. We try to stay positive. I mean, it's difficult when we get an episode like this. But watching Enzo knock around in there with the cruiserweights, I was like, I was looking. I was like, is Enzo getting a little better in the ring? I actually kind of wonder if he sticks around 205 Live enough and is involved in enough of these tight matches where he's surrounded.
He might approach competency.
Maybe. He might at some point be able to hang.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I don't think he's going to ever be able to hang in terms of doing...
He's not going to be the next Grand Metalik.
No.
But, you know...
In terms of just telling stories and not botching spots.
Him and Drew Gulak might have a good match.
Yeah.
You know?
Him and Noam Dar.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I'm trying to look for silver linings.
No, I agree.
You know? But there is definitely a massive hole where Neville was.
Oh, this Kalisto-Enzo feud has zero heat.
There needs to be
zero heat.
There needs to be some talent infusion. It desperately needs a Johnny Gargano. I mean, Leo Rush is going to blow it up when he comes in. But that is going to be really interesting. Number one, if there is a 205 Live by the time Leo Rush ends up on main roster,
mm-hmm.
and what the plans are. We always say that, but, you know, it's obvious, like with Bobby Roode, for example. Okay, well, there are no plans.
Nope.
They don't actually have plans.
Nope.
But with Leo Rush, I wonder what they see for him in terms of bringing him up to the main roster.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think they'd have some idea, like, oh, this guy'd be great
for
XYZ.
Well, I would imagine if Triple H or William Regal are the people who sign talents to NXT, they would have an idea of what...
Yeah,
they want them to do short term and also ideally long term. But yeah. Once that comes across Vince or Kevin Dunn's desk, who knows how it changes?
Yeah, you'd think.
So I mean, we've read before that Triple H, he wants everybody called up from NXT to have a 6-month plan. Well,
mm-hmm.
It's plainly obvious that usually isn't the case.
Yeah, I like hearing chat on the Patreon chat. God X-Ray Vision said, "Wow, I'm very glad I decided to read a book instead of watching 205 Live. Books are good, kids.
Yeah, read
books are good.
I need to read more."
Yeah, man.
I'll take a positive out of all this is that Kalisto was at least showing some intensity, and which meant he didn't talk as much.
Oh, he got the clean pin on Enzo too.
Yeah, after a Salida del Sol, and after the match, he wasn't content with just beating him.
Yeah,
hit him with a suicide dive, and they brawled a bit.
Oh, he said that in his stupid promo too. I'm going to beat him up. Oh my God, really? I'm going to beat him up. That's what you got for us, Kalisto. Anyway,
well, he doesn't write his promos.
I kind of feel like did they say, hey, Kalisto, he's not really good on the mic, so dumb it down for him. I'm going to beat him up. Right? That's a possibility. Hey, Kalisto, what do you got on the mic? Not your skills are crap. Beat him up. No, you know, the positive takeaway of this is that they're in the same territory as main roster.
Yeah.
Because they have a crap go-home show, and they've got a prominent spot on the pay-per-view coming up. So good for them. And I do think that there is a chance that the tag match might be kind of a show stealer. Prime spot in the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
They might let them go at it.
Yeah, I hope so.
There's a positive takeaway from it.
Yes. Let's move on to NXT now.
Oh, I love NXT so much. It's my favorite thing in the world.
So the show opened just right away with the second of, just two triple threat matches.
Mm-hmm.
Determine contenders for the women's title at TakeOver War Games.
Yeah.
So already Kairi Sane and Peyton Royce have spots in this Fatal 4-Way match.
Correct.
Last night we had Sonya Deville versus Ember Moon versus Ruby Riott determine the third competitor in that match.
I love Ruby Riott, man. I told you this off camera. Her, Ember Moon, and Nikki Cross, like, they're some of the... In the entire women's division across the landscape of the WWE, they're some of the best actual wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like, they sell great. They are fully established. Like, their characters are so... I mean, I know we've talked about Ember Moon, how creative has handled her characters outside of the ring, her character outside of the ring, but inside the ring, she's fully formed, fully realized.
Yeah.
And there's never anything awkward about the way those three wrestle.
Yeah.
And so we got two out of those three. And Sonya Deville is, you know, she's still learning. But, like, she's getting better.
Yeah.
But Ruby...
That spear she delivered to Ember.
Yeah, that was cool. That was really good. Yeah, Ember, yeah. Ember sold the crap out of
it. Oh, yeah.
But Ruby Riott and Ember Moon are just really, really good wrestlers in every aspect. The way Ruby Riott... So at one point, Ember Moon and Sonya Deville were on the outside of the ring. Ruby Riott goes up to the turnbuckle, and she does, like, a crossbody to both of them. And she comes down, and she kind of lands, you know, her foot kind of crashes down.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything. It was a total, like, fake job. You know, it was a work.
Yeah, she was selling the
But she leg sold injury. The crap out of it as yeah. if she actually sold it. And she was selling it great. Like, I was starting to hurt. I was like, oh, remember how Baron Corbin oddly sold that leg really, really well that one time?
Yeah.
Well, she was doing the same kind of thing. She was kind of like hitting it, trying to get it to, you know, rev up. Exactly, yeah. And so that was the rest of the story. And Nigel McGuinness is freaking great. And what's his face? Moro, he's great too. Because they were really selling her, you know, the idea that who's going to take advantage of this. I think Moro said, hopefully, you know, for Ruby Riott's sake, hopefully Sonya Deville didn't see her selling that. Because then she would try to take advantage with her MMA submissions type stuff.
Which is exactly what happened.
Which is what she did. And so, I don't know. I just thought it was a really fun match. I thought it was
yeah. Cool. Sonya Deville did put Ruby Riott in the ankle lock.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby managed to escape.
Mm-hmm.
First by getting to the rope. But since it's a triple threat match, there's no rope break. So she started to kind of crawl and try to get out of the ring. Sonya Deville let go of the hold, grabbed her again, pulled her back in the middle of the ring, put it in again.
Had it for a while.
Yeah. Then in the background, you see Ember Moon up to the top rope.
Yeah, this was a cool spot.
Yeah, and then she hits the eclipse on Sonya Deville while she has Ruby Riott in the ankle lock.
Yeah.
Sonya Deville rolls out of the ring.
Which is kind of goofy looking, but it was cool.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And so Ember Moon looks at Ruby Riott, pins her,
yeah.
and her leg's so messed up that she didn't kick out.
Right.
Ember Moon wins.
Yeah. I thought it was cool. Kind of an interesting take on Ember Moon winning off of somebody else, because we saw this with that was at the house show we went to when Asuka picked up the win, pinning I think Nikki Cross.
Yeah,
was that the three-way that we
yeah,
saw?
I think so.
And it was because Ember Moon had hit the eclipse on Nikki Cross.
Yeah,
Asuka throws Ember Moon out of the ring
pin, yeah.
and picks up the pin off yeah. of her finish. Kind of the same thing.
Well,
here
a couple moments in this match where I thought they were teasing a Ruby Riott Ember Moon program.
That'd be smart. That'd be really smart, which makes me think that neither of these two,
I thought that too,
are going to be winning that. So Ember Moon moves on. Ruby Riott's not going to be in the big battle royal because she lost in this match. I don't think if Ember Moon doesn't win, I wonder who's going to come out of that battle royal, because they announced later on. I can just talk about it now.
Well, it's a very it wasn't the next segment, but it was
the next. What do you think about this next segment? It was great.
I like that they were doing voiceover to describe what was going on. That's my favorite part. So you have the Undisputed Era. You have Cole. You have Fish. You have O'Reilly. Approach Roderick Strong. The only thing that would have made it better if Roderick Strong was lead performance center with flip-flops.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah, that would have been
Anyways,
good.
Anyways, so he's Roderick Strong.
He had the full Trent going with a pan.
Yeah. So Roderick Strong is leaving the performance center. It's like security cam footage out in the parking lot. Approached by the Undisputed Era. There's talking. He's handed a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And more talking. And then in the end, he gives the t-shirt back.
Okay.
Goes on with his day.
This is what I love about this, is that for maybe the first time, we have seen a non-in-ring t-shirt faction recruitment attempt.
Yeah.
We've only ever really seen that, I think, in the ring.
Publicly.
Now we saw... fly on the wall, security cam footage
yes.
of an attempt to recruit somebody into a heel faction with the t-shirt. And by the way, when's the last time we saw recruitment via t-shirt?
It's been a while.
I think it's been a while. I can't remember the last time I saw it. What factions would that possibly even work for these days?
Yeah, I don't know.
What other factions have t-shirts? Oh, the Shield. They're not really a faction. New Day aren't recruiting anybody.
Yeah. I mean, they're factions. They're just not recruiting anybody.
Yeah.
You always go back to the NWO.
You go back to the NWO.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They would recruit with t-shirts.
And of course, Undisputed Era's theme is
very NWO-like. Yeah. Does Bullet Club do that? Do they try to recruit with t-shirts?
I don't know.
Yeah, they do. Because Kazarian. Okay. Remember Kazarian?
That's right.
He did a t-shirt swerve.
Yeah.
I love the t-shirt.
So let's talk about this.
Oh, yeah. Adam Cole joining Bullet Club was very t-shirt based. Yeah.
this William Regal interview. So he is giving an interview in Come, the iconic duo.
Oh, I love that.
Peyton Royce is in the Fatal 4-Way at TakeOver for the Women's Championship. And then William Regal says, well, we're going to have a Battle Royal to determine the fourth participant in that match.
Because yeah, Billie Kay was making the case for her. She was like, can't you put me in there? I think they're hilarious. I follow Billie Kay on the Snapchat.
Uh-huh.
And she posted some snaps of her playing 2K18. And she had loaded up. It was going to be her versus I forget who. But Peyton Royce was one of her managers, and Johnny Gargano was her other one. And then she's like snapping her entrance. Oh, look at that. There's Johnny right there following me out there. There's Johnny. I was cracking up. They're cute as hell. So anyways, yeah, so that's kind of cool. Next week, we're going to have a big battle royal. I'm sure there are spoilers out there. I don't want to know who won. But I do think that...
What do you think about this? Sorry. I saw the graphic. Did you see the graphic of all the competitors?
It's like a million people.
A lot of them are from the Mae Young Classic.
That shouldn't be. I mean, I guess if you're fighting your way in, that's one thing. Yeah, all right.
Because Candice LeRae was on there. Dakota Kai was on there. A lot of them.
I wonder if they're going to roll with the iconic duo winning the title. Like, one, like Peyton Royce picking it up and then them fulfilling their dream of holding it together.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be rad.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. I'd be into that.
Yeah, I would too.
I love them, man. They're great.
Yeah, me too. Next, Raul Mendoza took on Aleister Black.
I love Raul Mendoza. He is the most create a wrestler generic template guy literally ever. It's fantastic.
He's got some cool moves, though.
It's like, no, he's fine. He's cool. He's whatever. I don't know what's his background?
Because
he's everywhere now. Every week he's got a match.
He was in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh, okay.
That's what they said. He lost to Brian Kendrick in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they said. So right as this match starts, Velveteen Dream comes out, grabs Aleister Black's vest, puts it on, and that's enough to distract Aleister just for a moment and allows Raul to get the upper hand.
I love everything about this.
Yes, yeah, great.
This might be the Going In Raw feud of the year. Not like our official like Friendo Award feud, but this is
there's still, you know, two plus months left in the year. It could actually work its way
become
up
actual feud of the year.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be up there with Omega Okada.
Never know.
Maybe
they put on some good matches.
I absolutely love this. It's funny because Aleister Black in that first promo he did about this and when he was like done kickboxing or working out or whatever. Mm-hmm. He made reference. He says, this is a child trying to get attention. And that's exactly how it's played out. Velveteen Dream essentially acting like a child.
Yeah.
And this, in this case, the most that we've seen, because he just puts on his vest and starts parading around. Like, if that's not something I've seen my kid do to get my attention, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
And so it was great. And he just kept on. And then, so Aleister Black, when he finished off Raul Mendoza, he just, you know, he did the sit down thing and he just sat there while Velveteen Dream was backing up the ramp. And as soon as he turned the corner, Aleister Black looked over.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Mauro tell, oh, is that him acknowledging Velveteen Dream?
Yeah, I know.
And then Nigel says, I'm not sure that's the kind of acknowledgement you want. It always sounds like he's yelling, but I don't think he is. His voice sounds like he's yelling. They had a great line. I mentioned this off camera to you too. He had a great line in 205 Live.
Oh yeah,
when Jack Gallagher did the double knee stomp thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Vic Joseph said, "Nigel, what would that do to a person's legs? Do you want me to show you?"
I know, that was great. That was so good.
Nigel's the best, dude. He's so good.
Next, we had this really great interview with Drew McIntyre. It was phenomenal.
It seemed
very genuine, very heartfelt.
It did, very man. Real. He was talking
he
about
was shooting.
That was a total shoot. He was talking about. It was a bit cringy because what's her name? Christy something or another?
St. Clair?
St. Clair? Is that St. Cloud? Something like that. She gives it her all, and I appreciate that about her. But it was like it seemed like she was a little too into the interview. She needs to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
But Drew was given his, you know, story about getting laid off and having to tell his family and his dad and his wife saying it was okay.
And how that at the moment where he told her that there was like a renewed fire in his eyes. Mm-hmm. So he worked his butt off traveling around the world.
Yeah. I feel like I told this to you also. It was like Drew over the past 3 years has aged mentally, emotionally, and physically like 30 years.
Oh,
you
know?
He came off as a wizened old man, you know, reflecting on his career.
But
after
he's got to be, what, early 30s? Maybe mid-30s?
I know. But, like, he looks like he could be my dad or something.
I know. He's 32.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? That's obscene. He looks 42.
Nope, 32.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Anyway.
Well, he signed when he said he was 21.
Yeah, he was a baby.
So.
But anyways, midway through the interview.
Zelina Vega.
Thank you. Thea Trinidad showed up.
And it was great when she kind of popped in the side of the frame and Drew just said, oh, hi.
Yeah.
Just very cordial.
Yeah, because she said, interview. She said, I'll take over from here. And she sits down and he's like, hi. And she says, I was watching this on my phone and I was like, whoa, wait a second.
Whoa.
What? This isn't live.
No.
This is what access on your phone do you get to what's happening in the Full Sail Arena?
Maybe there's a security camera in there too.
Maybe there's like a security camera app for Full Sail.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, we can get access. I'm speculating to all sorts of stuff. Is there a bathroom cam? I'm joking. So anyway, she shows up and she starts saying, she's like, you don't have any threats in this company except for Andrade San Almas. Why have you been ducking him? And it took Drew everything he had not to laugh it off. Like, dude, the guy who does Tranquilo. He's like sort of like sixth in terms of like, you know,
yeah,
priorities for the men's division.
Yeah.
But okay.
And so I pretty much said, if he comes to me man to man and asks nicely,
yeah,
he can have his match.
Yeah. That was good because he was like, he sent his manager. He needs to come and tell me face to face. Anytime, anywhere. You see like his bicep was about to burst out of that nice dress coat of his.
I know.
Man, massive. It was like a pillow in there, dude. What the heck? All right, next up we had, he needs to be on main roster because we're going to need something to replace Will. And I feel like it's,
The best part of his entrance is when he sings along to a song before the chorus.
Yeah. He was before out there.
Oh, no.
He was out there in the Sacramento Kings gear to take on Cesar Banana.
Okay, match. Oh, no. Picked up a win with a vicious rolling elbow to the back of the head.
Oh, my gosh. That looked really nasty. Because the way Banana sold it was like, Jesus Christ.
But also, he was on his knees getting up. Yeah. And Ono's camera from behind him.
It's like a base hit, man.
It was a base hit.
That was pretty nasty. So he picked up that win. That was cool. I like whenever Cassius Ono has a, because I feel like he's never going to win a big fight. So I like whenever he gets to win these small fights.
Yeah.
You know? I really want him on main roster,
yeah,
though.
Me too.
That'd just be great for him. You know? That'd be great for him. That's
you
all
know
I care
be a
about.
Cool program is Drew and Cassius Ono.
Oh, yeah.
Just seemingly the most easygoing guys
on
the mic.
I know.
Just mellow and genuine.
And Cassius can kind of poke fun. I could see him as being the kind of guy who can poke fun about the fact that he doesn't look like Drew in terms of his manly, you know, physique.
Yeah.
That could be a lot of fun. That'd be neat. To our main event, which was the Undisputed Era versus Sanity.
They got a new Titantron.
Undisputed Era. Yeah, I know they did. I feel like it looked like they mashed two completely different themes together. Because the Undisputed logo, it was like different from the Era, right?
Oh, the font, you mean?
I think.
Oh, I don't remember.
I could be wrong. I just thought I saw something, and then I saw Era on its own.
I was too focused on their NW-esque theme song. And then comparing Adam Cole's upper body to his lower body.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In terms of the musculature.
He's got the trunks. The leg trunks.
Oh, legs, yeah.
Leg trunks. Not just his trunk. I'm not saying you're looking at his junk.
No, he's got thick legs.
Yeah, big trunks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then his trunk and arms is so narrow.
Well, he's like Torgo.
But he's in really good shape.
He's like Torgo from Manos, the hands of fate. Yeah. The master. That's an obscure reference. Anyways, he totally does. So, full disclosure, last week when you mentioned him getting his Adam Cole Bebe thing in line with the announcer, I kind of missed it. Like, I heard what you said, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize that happened. And then I watched it back. I was like, oh, that's funny. But during the podcast, I was like, oh, I didn't know that happened. I just faked it. This week, I noticed it, and I was like, okay, well, how is he going to do it this time? He needs to wait until the announcer says...
Well, the other time he did it too late.
Okay, this time he did it too early. This time he just came out there, the announcer started talking, and then he did it like during Kyle O'Reilly's thing.
Yeah.
So he needs to wait until she says, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and then he springs up, Adam Cole, baby.
Agreed.
Thing. So that's what he needs to do.
And also, when he gets on the ring apron, when he points at himself,
yeah,
he needs to do it then, too.
He needs to do it then,
he
too.
He needs to do it all the time.
As many times as he can. It's kind of his thing. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So that would be good. Kyle O'Reilly bugs the crap out of me. What the hell is this stuff?
I know, it's too much. He needs to dial it back a bit.
Bring it down a couple notches.
Yeah. Adam Cole's role in the Undisputed Era is interesting because it's not completely cowardly. It seems like he kind of picks his spots, but his spots are very few and far between. During portions of this match where Fish and or O'Reilly were getting decimated by Sanity,
yeah,
he had the look on his face like, oh, we're really overmatched. Yeah. Which I think if that's the storyline, that's great.
Yeah, I know.
Especially when
I
Authors of Pain came
when
out.
When Authors of Pain came down, they made it. That has to be storyline because they very specifically had Undisputed Era up there at the top of the ramp to understand what was happening. They were just overmatched against Sanity, and then some bigger monster comes in and destroys Sanity. And Sanity has like four people in their ranks.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there like, oh, man. The look on his face, I absolutely believe that's going to be storyline.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, surveying this damage. And he's
is
like,
that
oh,
where
crap.
Donovan Dijak comes into
Donovan
play?
Donovan Dijak. Yeah. Exactly. And, of course, they're trying to pick up Roderick Strong, which I totally think is going to happen.
It could.
So, I mean, what do you do with a five-man faction if that's the case? That's a lot of people in a faction.
I know. Especially for NXT.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I mean, that's what you – part of me thinks, do you have to do that? Are they going to introduce like a mid-level belt or something?
Only a second hour.
They're not all like fighting over that one, the three alphas. I mean,
Do you hear that at a house show in San Antonio the night before or two nights before TakeOver?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Adam Cole versus Drew.
That's right,
the title with HBK. HBK is a special guest. I guess Ring of Honor has a show in town that same night.
Oh, wow.
So they're trying to treat that show like more than a house show.
You want to roll out to San Antonio?
Okay. I've never been. I've heard like the Riverwalk area is quite nice.
You want to go down to the Alamo?
Yeah, I've never been.
Check it out.
I heard it's smaller than you expect it to be.
A little slice of history. That's not surprising. You know, they didn't have the kind of technology back then to make big structures. I don't think that's true.
It's not true. Have you ever heard of the Roman Colosseum?
Plenty of. Have you ever heard of Stonehenge?
Heard of Stonehenge. It's just this big. They lure it to the stage.
The problem was we had Stonehenge in danger of being trampled by a dwarf. Oh, my God. That line kills me.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Let's answer questions.
Yeah. Interview bot Jose GGR with news of Adam Cole, baby.
Baby!
And Drew McIntyre, November 17th, the San Antonio show. Is it too early to have this match? No, because it'll have a dusty finish.
Oh, no. It'll totally have a dusty finish. Listen, baby, y'all go out there and nobody's gonna win, okay? Adam Cole can't get that belt right now.
Tommy T, hey, Fredo. So recently Dave Meltzer said WWE only has maybe one of the five best wrestlers in North America. Do you agree with this? I assume that'd be AJ Styles.
So we have to power rank the other four?
In North America.
In North America, which Ricochet. Includes Canada. Okay. Ricochet. Okay, is Kenny Omega considered in North America?
From North America.
He's from North America.
And he does wrestle on occasion in North America.
So I guess.
Sure. For our purposes, yeah.
Okay, that's Kenny Omega. I'm trying to get in the head of. I don't probably agree with that because WWE has Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Seth Rollins. I mean. Who else in North America? He does know that Bret Hart isn't wrestling anymore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, does he mean all time or wrestling today?
I think today.
I think he means wrestling today. Who else could he be talking about? Who else is in ring? Who's the Ring of Honor champion right now? Cody Rhodes? Not Cody Rhodes.
No.
But not Dalton Castle. Who else is he talking about?
I don't know.
Sometimes he you know...
Would he count the Young Bucks as one person or two?
There you go. Is that about Hangman Page?
Oh, doubtful. It was AJ Styles and then Okada, Ishii, Naito, and Takahashi or something like that. Oh, Tanahashi. He loves Tanahashi.
I love Jeff Cobb, but it's not Jeff Cobb.
No, it's not Matt Riddle.
Is he talking about Joey Ryan?
Probably not.
I'd put Joey Ryan top 10 just because he throws people around with his penis.
He's an innovator.
He is an innovator. I love Joey Ryan.
Oh, I do too.
Who else do we see at PWG? Who's in the main event of the last PWG show?
It was Kenny and the Bucks, okay. The Young Bucks against Penta.
Luchadors, okay.
Penta El Cerro.
They're South American.
No, they're Central American.
Central, yeah.
Well, no, I think Mexico is considered part of North America, isn't it?
Ooh, that's a good idea. My wife just texted me and suggested we have nachos tonight. That's a great
idea.
That's
what I had for dinner last
night. Nice, well done. You're always one step ahead of me, you son of a biscuit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Tim Morris, which three indie wrestlers would you sign for 205 Live to make the show must watch?
Milkweed says, Keith Lee? He's American?
Yeah, Keith Lee.
Just pulling all these indie names out of our asses. And I'm like, I don't know who he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, the four other
wrestlers.
He does.
I mean, he does. Look, I really respect the crap out of Dave Meltzer. I love the work that he does.
Yeah.
He's a historian unlike any other.
Yes.
But sometimes he does say things that are kind of curious. And it's just one man's opinion.
Absolutely.
And I don't get, you know, bent over. But he said something on Twitter the other day, somebody was saying, who's having a better year this year than CM Punk in 2011?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said there's at least 15 people. And he named people like Ospreay, Ricochet. And I'm like, look, dude, they're great in the ring and everything, but I don't know. CM Punk was really hot in 2011. Yeah. Really
it
hot.
It depends on the criteria. If it's strictly in-ring performance,
yeah,
then maybe.
But, dude, even then, CM Punk was really
no,
good.
No, he was really good.
In the ring.
But I'm just saying, it depends, A, on criteria. And if the criteria extends in any way beyond the ring,
yeah,
then that's not true.
I agree, man.
Tim Morris asks, what three indie wrestlers would you sign to 205 Live to make the show
Silas Young. Anyways, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Three indie wrestlers you'd sign to make 205 Live interesting.
Silas Young.
I don't think he's a cruiserweight.
Oh, 205 Live.
I mean, I don't want Ricochet to go to 205 Live, but if he went to 205 Live, that'd be must-watch TV.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, man.
But I don't want him to go there. The Young Bucks.
Yeah, me neither.
The Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks on 205 Live. That'd be terrible.
They're cruiserweights.
Yeah, they are. Juniors, Ticking Time Bomb.
No, he says indie wrestlers.
Indie wrestlers. Aaron Sky.
There you go.
From Supreme Pro Wrestling here
yeah.
in town. Indie wrestlers going at 205 Live. Well, you can't consider Ring of Honor indie.
No, you can't.
All right. Well, who does that leave? Who do we see at the... Is Impact Wrestling indie wrestling?
Yeah.
It feels like it. Trevor Lee.
There you go.
Trevor Lee.
I would watch 205 Live even more than I already do.
Trevor Lee. Who else do they got? Desmond Xavier. Oh, Sammy Guevara.
Shane Strickland.
He's good. Sammy Guevara.
Travis Banks.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah. Some of them British kids. Does the dude look like CM Punk?
Oh, Mark Haskins.
Mark Haskins.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's good.
Mike
Big Dog Demopoulos, was I the only one who noticed Nigel say that Redragon knows each other intimately? Is this a bad choice of words or foreshadowing an undisputed live sex show? I really hope it would. That'd be cool. I want to see weird Kyle O'Reilly with his weird sex moves with his hands doing this stuff. His weird sex face.
The Nightcrawler. Hey, guys. My question is, who are the five best WWE homegrown superstars currently wrestling? That sounds like a power ranking.
Power ranking.
Homegrown. Developed internally.
The best five homegrown WWE wrestlers right now. Would you put Roman on that list?
Yeah, you'd have to. Number five.
I mean, he's the most successful by far.
Yeah.
Not a great wrestler. He's good.
Well, like, let's think of who's on the roster now that's developed entirely by WWE. You have Reigns. You have
Authors of Pain.
Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yeah, Bray. Ooh, good point.
I don't think Charlotte had a whole lot of experience before signing with NXT.
No, she didn't.
So she'd probably be number one.
I think you're probably right about that.
Because both Sasha and Becky wrestled on the indies for a bit.
Yep. Well,
Becky for quite a bit.
Bayley did too?
Yeah.
How many is that?
At least
Roman, Charlotte, Roman,
Bray,
man.
Authors of Pain, you said.
Authors of Pain.
Heavy Machinery.
No, get out of here with that.
Lars Sullivan.
Oh, there. No, he was on the indies in the ring.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, that's right. Wikipedia has nothing like it's like he didn't exist before 2014. But then somebody sent me like his yearbook photo or something.
Oh,
So he did actually exist. But yeah, I think you're right about that.
All right, let's do a quick scan of the roster.
Oh, no.
I guess, like John Cena wrestled in, I think, just primarily developmental.
In WWE developmental.
The Miz.
Oh, yeah.
He's homegrown. Braun Strowman's homegrown. Who else? SmackDown here. Baron Corbin.
Oh, there you go. Baron Corbin.
All good answers.
All great answers. We did good. Well done. Let's see here. Nate Morris, could you see Authors of Pain coming to help even the odds with the Shield? Nah, because the point is to make the Shield so overwhelmingly powerful, yep, and to put the odds against them. So that's what I'm going to say. It'd be cool though, but I could, because aesthetically speaking,
yeah,
it'd be pretty rad. There.
Hey, Steven Larson, sorry, double T. Hey, Steven Larson. So my question is, who are some guys on the roster that just from looking at them, you can tell they're just living their dream and having fun no matter what they're doing? For me, the one that comes to mind is The Miz. Yeah, I agree with The Miz.
I get that from, and this is an odd answer, but I kind of get that from Braun Strowman's face.
Yeah.
You know?
There's times, especially this last Raw, the backstage stuff, looked like he was trying not to laugh.
I know. I think he's having a blast.
More often than not, I'd say Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
Although, based on that Sam Roberts podcast, it seemed like there are times where he just thinks, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
But for the most part, Seth Rollins. I'd say AJ too.
Anybody. AJ for sure. Because AJ's done everything. He's been around. So I don't think with AJ he's ever thinking, are there greener pastures somewhere else?
He's been everywhere else.
I just think that he's at the point in his career where he's like, man, you know, they've treated me like a king, like an absolute king here. He has nothing really to complain about, no. You know? And he just doesn't seem the type. I think he's, you know, once you have kids and stuff and you're all old and shit, you have, like, your priorities in order, mm-hmm, for the most part, mm-hmm, unless you don't. The cat Daryl Takahashi, do you think Leo Rush will ever be in the NXT title picture? I have a feeling that the answer is no to that. I have a feeling that he's going to... If it was me, I would give him just a couple months in NXT to understand WWE production,
yeah,
and then kick him up to 205 Agreed. Live. And have him light that show on fire. I would rebrand the entire show upon his arrival. You know, there are certain superstars that come in and you're like, you know what? This person represents a new era of doing
things. You know, his nickname is the Man of the Hour.
It's a great, yep, great nickname.
Yep. Fits perfectly.
I know, absolutely.
The Man of This Hour. The Man of This Live. Hour.
Yeah.
The man
of the most electrifying hour on TV.
Yeah. Like I said, the episode after his debut, like have him in these really good matches against much larger competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And have him just come up short, but he'll look great in defeat.
Mm-hmm.
Come into a 205 Live, have him clean house.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
That'd be great. Jason the Cabbie has a power rank question. Power rank question. Given that Enzo decided to use a... This is very... I'm impressed that Jason the Cabbie knew this. Given that Enzo decided to use a slogan from a circa 1995 No Fear t-shirt in his opening promo this week, apparently... If you ain't living on the edge, you're taking up too much space.
Huh.
I guess that was on a No Fear 1995 wow. t-shirt. That is impressive that he knows that.
Yeah.
I wonder if he had it. Jason the Cabbie, I can see him wearing some No Fear back in the 90s.
Had it. Yeah.
Anyways, he says, what other 90s t-shirt company slogans is in his future? That is an obscure.
You remember the
question.
Big Johnson shirts?
Yes! I was going to say Big Johnson! I was totally going to say that. Yes! Those always confuse me. I was always like, I don't get it. Like, he's a little guy? Why would he have a big dingus? I thought only big people have big dinguses. He was like the spiritual successor to Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah.
You know?
Gosh, what are their 90s?
Be cool if he started coming out in some L.A. gear.
Yeah, the shoes lit up.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Remember L.A. gear?
Yeah, I remember those. Or, what are some other brands that were popular in the 90s?
Stussy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know any slogans on it.
Stussy's still around.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I think I have. Yeah, Lacey just got
them. Massimo.
Massimo, yeah. Really, is Massimo still around?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Buy their stuff at Target now.
Oh, yeah. I think Target might own them because I think that's the only place you can find Massimo at. Yeah. That's funny. Good for Massimo for staying relevant.
That was late 80s. I'm going to say British Knight. Remember British Knights?
BK. Yeah. I remember BK. Yeah. Oh, man. I never had any of that cool stuff.
I never had British Knights. Yeah. No.
Did you ever have LA gear?
No.
Man.
I wanted Jordans back then even.
Yeah. No, me too, but I would have been happy with some LA gear. I don't know what the hell my parents had on me. Some booty ass shoes.
I was a Nike kid. I'm a Nike adult.
Yeah, well, there you go. I got Adidas pants on right now.
So do I.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, as far as shoes go.
Oh, right. All right. Anyways.
Another question? Punjabi Larson match. Power rank. Pow. Top five members of the 205 Live roster that you can see as good, great Intercontinental or U.S. champions. He says TJP as a great IC champion and Kendrick as a great U.S. champion. Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, Cedric Alexander as a great Universal champion.
Yeah. Rich Swann would be a good mid-card champion.
Yeah, I could see that, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like, the level of competition there is.
No, I know.
You know?
He's so good in the ring, though.
Yeah, he's really good in the ring. The flips that he does
mm-hmm.
are great.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric's great. I could see...
Mustafa Ali
is a good mid-level champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be a good U.S. champion.
Leo Rush as Universal Champion.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, is that it for questions?
Sure.
All right, that's our show for the day. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to join us on Sunday for our TLC reaction live stream. No, we're not going to show you the show itself. We're just going to show you us again. That's what we do. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.